You know, the housing situation, the evictions ban and that being extended for certain areas, and what are people going to do, and whether or not it's political. And at the end of the day, people just need help. You know, there's several people that need help. They don't know where to go, what to do, how to decipher what's going on. It's an unfortunate thing in our society sometimes that, you know, the people that are in need of help can't navigate the system because they just don't understand the system. The way that the directions or the path is written generally requires a translation that most people can't decipher, unfortunately, and so they feel stuck. So Vibe definitely wanted to make sure, and Ty Malone wanted to make sure that we were presenting some information for the people to be able to help them make a difference. So definitely want to encourage them. But before we do, you know, if you want to participate with Vibe, you want to get involved, you want to make some things happen in the community, it is Vibe716. So VIBE716.org. You know, so want to encourage you to check them out. And you don't have to be in this area to get involved with them. You know, one thing I can say about Vibe and about Ty and the individuals involved is that at the end of the day, it's all about the people. And that's what they're about, and making change and making differences. So regardless of where you're at, you can get involved and make a difference somewhere. So want to encourage you with that. But Jessica, I appreciate you so much for joining us. We are going to go ahead and we'll get started. I'll turn it over to you here. But I really want to say thank you for joining us. You know, and we definitely get to take a look at another reflection, a different mirror, so to speak, tonight. So I will turn it over to you. I'll let you kind of introduce yourself a little more and whatever details you want, and then we'll go from there.
Yep, thank you very much, Gary. As you said, my name is Jessica Malone, and I'm volunteering with Vibe. Many of you may know Ty Malone, my husband. He is the founder of Vibe, and really that was the heart of the creation of the organization, was to just reach out to as many people as we could in the community, and just help educate them, lift them up, you know, empower them to make their lives better, their community better. And one of the ways to do that is through knowledge and knowing your rights, and then having the knowledge to be able to enforce those rights and to basically stand up for yourself. Because as many of us know, just because you're entitled to something and you deserve something, it doesn't necessarily mean that someone's going to knock on your door and say, hey, you're entitled to this money. As many people know who didn't maybe get their first stimulus check, you know, automatically deposited into their account, there are certain steps you have to go through sometimes in order to access benefits and things that are available to you. So we just want to try to help people be aware of some of the benefits that are available out there right now, especially with the eviction crisis pending. We understand that in a couple of weeks there will be unemployment benefits ending for a lot of folks. A lot of people have lost employment or have a reduction in income, reduction in hours, and are behind on their rent, unable to pay. Through, you know, really no fault of their own. It's been a very hard time for a lot of folks.
Right.
So we have a little presentation here to just kind of try to help everyone see what's available. So give me just a moment here, and I'm going to share my screen.
And while you are doing that, I just want to point out that this will be available on the Reflections Facebook page, so you can always go back through. I want to encourage you, if you are watching and you got pen and paper, you know, take some notes, but it'll be available both on the Reflections page, Facebook page, as well as the audio is going to be available on the various podcast platforms as well, the listening platforms as well. So if you don't catch something or want to go back through and listen to it again, want to share it, it'll definitely be available.
Okay, so, you know, as we said, the eviction moratorium in New York State will be ending August 31st, which means as of right now, you know, minus any new extensions that are going to be possibly granted by the governor, we're not exactly sure. There really hasn't been any word on that yet. September 1st is the go date. So if your landlord has been telling you that, you know, you're behind on rent and they're going to be filing eviction proceedings against you September 1st. Right now is going to be the earliest day that they can start to do that. Now, there have been some situations I've heard of where people have been going to court for eviction proceedings. You know, if that happens to you, your best bet is to contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, try to contact the legal aid office in your area so that you can make sure that the court, the landlord, you know, that everybody's following the rules and the protections that have been provided for tenants during this time, because there are a lot of new things, and sometimes it just takes even educating the court or your landlord about, you know, what's legal right now. So I just want to put out this warning. This presentation is for informational purposes only and is not legal advice. If you want specific legal advice about a problem, you should definitely contact a lawyer and get advice about your specific situation. So past due rent and eviction. So what is an eviction? Eviction is a court process. A landlord can file a petition with the court to evict a tenant from a rented apartment, house, or mobile home. An eviction case, which lawyers call a summary proceeding, is started when the landlord has someone else, that means not the landlord, has to serve the tenant with a notice of petition and a petition. And I also just want to point out for anyone, I did hear you mention Jacksonville, Florida. I apologize. I know this presentation, there may be people signing in or logging in or watching from out of state, but this presentation is specific to New York State residents and upstate New York residents. So it would be people outside of New York City. There are different laws and protections that apply to people in New York City. So once again, if you're facing eviction, you live in New York City or outside of New York State, you should contact the legal aid office in your area. So in New York State, a landlord has to file a petition with the court, and then he has to have someone other than himself serve you those papers. They have to be handed to you in person. He can't just leave them on your front porch. She can't just put them in your mailbox. They have to be physically handed to you. And on those papers, there will be a notice that's given to you, and it will clearly state on the notice of petition the time, the date, and the place of the court hearing. And the petition, which will also be attached to that notice of petition, will describe why the landlord wants to evict you. And you must be served both of these papers at least 10 days before the court date. So if the landlord gives you the papers 2 days before the court date, 1 day before the court date, you should contact the court immediately and just let them know, I got these just 2 days ago, what should I do? And they should be able to provide you information. If you don't have any luck there at the court, you receive court papers, you should contact an attorney and see what steps you could take. And the court date, when you receive the court papers, the court date also can't be more than 17 days after you're served. So they can't serve you today and then have court in 3 weeks and 21 days. It has to be an amount of time within that 17-day window. And you have rights. So just because a landlord starts an eviction case doesn't mean that the landlord will win. The landlord may not be applying the law properly. It may be, you know, using things that don't really aren't able to allow a court to evict you. So you have certain rights when you're a tenant, and there are lots of defenses to an eviction action. So if you're not sure, you should always contact an attorney. And can your landlord evict you without going to court? And it's a very simple answer, no. Your landlord cannot evict you without going to court. He or she must file what we call a petitioning with the court, and they have to win the case, which means the judge would have to grant the landlord the eviction, and then they also have to pay a fee to have a law enforcement officer properly evict you. And that's usually when a lot of people, if you've ever been evicted or heard of someone that's been evicted, the judge can issue what's called a warrant of eviction. And then usually in our area in Cattaraugus County, either a sheriff or someone like that will usually serve that warrant on you if it's not served on you when you're at court. And they have to take you to court even if you owe rent or you had a lease and your lease ended. They can't simply give you a notice and say you have to be out January 1st. You have to be out September 1st. They can give you those notices, but that doesn't mean that you have to be out by that date. In order for them to legally evict you from your home, they would have to take you to court. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't make an agreement with your landlord. If you decide that you don't want to stay in that place anymore, and they're asking you to leave by a certain date, and you have another place and you are able to leave, you know, you can make that agreement with your landlord and say, I'll be out by the first and I'm not going to pay you any rent for that month. And you know, sometimes you may say, but the landlord changed the locks, and that is illegal. A landlord cannot change the locks in order to kind of circumvent or go around having to take you to court. The landlord may try changing the locks and hope that you just walk away from all of your personal belongings and kind of hold them as ransom for any rent that you owe, but they cannot do that. That is illegal. They can't padlock the doors, if they don't have a key, or if they just want to prevent you breaking in somehow and they put, you know, a padlock over the door. That is also illegal. Your landlord cannot evict you that way. They cannot take out your furniture or your belongings. Again, that is illegal. Sometimes a landlord will just go to a house, take everything inside and move it out into the front yard and change the locks and say, you're evicted, get your stuff out of here. That's completely illegal. They cannot do that. We've had situations, that I've heard of before where, the front door to your apartment has been removed or to your house. That as well is illegal. Yes, it's their house, it's their property, but they don't have the right to remove the entrance door or to make your home unsecure. Turning off the electricity or water. Again, this is illegal. If they want you out of your apartment or your home, they need to go to court and have you evicted through an order by a judge. These things may be a nuisance. It may seem that, the water's off, I can't go back there. But there are things that you can do to force the landlord to turn the water back on and to, enforce your rights, that if they want you evicted, they need to do it the proper way and take you to court. It's also illegal for a landlord to do or threaten to do anything else that keeps you out of your house or your apartment. This may be an extreme, but if your landlord calls you up and says, don't bother coming home, I'm sitting on your front porch with a shotgun. If I see you come on my property, I'll, shoot you for trespassing. These are all extremely, he may live three states away, and she may not want to drive all the way to actually do that. Mm-hmm. And there's really no threat of that actually happening, but they're still not allowed to make those threats, to threaten you in any way or to say they're going to do anything that would prevent you from entering your house or your apartment. If any of these situations happen to you, most of these situations are criminal acts by your landlord. Just because it's their property and they own it, yes, they have rights to that property, but you also have rights when you became a tenant and began living there. Your landlord can't enter your house without your permission. They do have a right to entry. They can contact you and say, I need to do an inspection in 2 days or Thursday at 4 o'clock. Repairman is going to come in to check the furnace, things like that. And you should always reasonably work with your landlord to arrange that entry. As I said, a lot of those things that I mentioned are crimes, and you can report them to the police. If your landlord has locked you out of your apartment, you can contact the police department. If that doesn't work, if the police aren't willing to help you, I would say you should immediately contact a lawyer and see if you can get some assistance there. you know, and that's really a personal decision on how you address that and what you want to do. If you do decide to contact a law enforcement officer, it's always a good idea. I know you won't have access to your apartment if they've changed the locks, but you should have access to some type of identification. If you have a digital copy of your lease agreement, maybe in your email, a utility bill, or some type of document that has your name and address on it, that's also helpful to have with you on hand. If you do find yourself in a situation where you have to call the police because you've been locked out of your home. And in some situations, you know, your landlord can be arrested or sued for illegally locking you out of your apartment. The likelihood of that actually happening, I think, is pretty high. Usually when the police are contacted, the landlord usually says okay and then gives them entrance. But as I said, it is an illegal act. So you do have that option if you are locked out of your home to contact law enforcement for entry. And then if you are served with court papers, as I said, you'll get that notice of petition and petition, and you should go to court. Because if you don't go to court, the judge will probably grant the landlord a judgment for everything they ask for in their papers. So basically, you know, you should always go to court. And if you disagree with what the landlord says, you can always ask the judge to postpone the case, which he's required, he or she is required to postpone a case for at least 14 days if you ask them to postpone the case. And during that 14 days that you have that postponement, you can contact an attorney and try to get some more help or assistance with your eviction case. And if you lose your case, or if you agree that with the landlord that, you know, you do owe them money for back rent, but, you know, you lost your job, and you, you know, you agree with what they're saying, you just don't have the ability to pay, the court can also, if you go to court, you can also be involved in that decision and provide information on a day that you can be out of the apartment. If the judge is going to grant the eviction to the landlord, you know, it's good to be there. If you have another place lined up, or if you need an extra week or two, you know, you can't really tell the court that or have that considered if you're not there. And the worst thing that could happen if you don't go to court is the landlord could be untruthful in their papers that they filed with the court. They may have told the court that you owe them $10,000 for back rent and damages and other fees. And if you don't go to court, you can't tell them that that's not true. And the judge will more than likely take the fact that you're not there to say the landlord can have everything they want. It's called a default judgment. So basically, because you didn't go, they're going to take that as a default, and the landlord wins, and they win for everything they ask for. So it's very important. If you get court papers, you should always go to court. You can, as I said, if you don't move out, you can ask the judge for more time to move. But you should also be aware that if you don't move out by the time, the date the judge gives you, they can, the landlord can go back to court and seek that law enforcement officer to serve you with a warrant of eviction. When the law enforcement officer gives you a warrant of eviction, they will also give you at least 14 more days to move. Now, this is new. It used to be warrants of eviction used to have a 72-hour time limit on them from the time you were served with the warrant of eviction until you had to be out. But there have been changes in the last couple years in the landlord-tenant law in New York State. So now you can get an additional 14 days to move after you've been served that warrant. And if you live in a mobile home park, as many people do in our rural areas, you get additional time if you are served that warrant. It can be 30 days, and in some instances, it can be 90 days. So the big takeaway here is if you are facing eviction, you should contact a lawyer. There's lots of resources out there that I'm going to share with you in a little bit if you can't afford a lawyer. And if you don't qualify for legal aid, but if you can't afford a lawyer, the first thing you should do is call legal aid to see if you qualify for free legal help. Most legal aid offices don't charge for their services. There are some legal aid offices in some areas that kind of charge on a sliding scale. So it's always good to ask that when you call, you know, is there a charge for your services? But you should always try to get free legal help first. And if you don't qualify for free legal help, I do have some additional resources if you're in New York State for you to be able to help yourself, know your rights, and be more informed. So you've lost your job and you weren't able to pay rent. And as I said, there is rent help available, but you should apply for rent help as soon as possible. Because the one thing that I can tell you is that if you don't apply, you're not going to get approved. A lot of the funds that are available to help people with paying their back rent from getting behind because of COVID-19 job loss or income loss or just other rising expenses that they had due to COVID-19, a lot of that money is limited and it's on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you are behind on your rent, you should apply as soon as possible. If you don't qualify for public assistance, you can still be eligible for rental help. So just because in the past you may have needed help and maybe reached out to community agencies or social services and you didn't qualify, that might not necessarily be the case. They've expanded a lot of these programs because they understand that a lot of people, you know, it was a really big issue. So there's people who are kind of in between there who might not normally qualify for public assistance who would still qualify for rental help. I'm going to give you some income information for Cattaraugus County, but you should, you know, follow any applications you can and apply. And if they tell you you don't qualify, you know, you can go from there. But I know for sure if you don't apply, you definitely won't qualify or get assistance. Now, in New York State, there is the New York State Emergency Rental Assistance Program. It's been called ERAP. If you're in New York State, you've probably seen a commercial, have heard something about it, have probably seen something online about it. And it's a program that helps households that are unable to pay rent and utilities due to COVID-19. Eligible households may receive up to 12 months of assistance to cover their back rent, and if applicable, an additional 3 months of future rent. In general, these funds will be paid directly to landlords and your utility service providers. And this money is a grant, which means that it will not need to be paid back. I know sometimes emergency grants from social services agencies and other places, sometimes once you become income stable again and maybe have your employment has started up again, they work out payment plans for you to pay back the money, but that's not the case with ERAP. ERAP money is a grant, and as I said, it will not have to be paid back. And how do you know if you're eligible? To be eligible for ERAP, there's three main criteria. First, you have to owe past due rent at your current residence. You have to have a member of your household who received unemployment benefits or experienced a financial hardship directly or indirectly due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is pretty general. So if you've had reduced hours, increased expenses, maybe you're working, but now you have to drive an hour and a half for your job where before you used to work up the street and you have increased expenses there. There's lots of different ways that if you didn't receive unemployment, if you can show that there's some type of financial hardship which led you to become behind on your rent, you can use that to be eligible for that point. And the last one is that you have to have a household gross income at or below 80% of area median income, which varies by county and household size. And you do not have to be actively facing an eviction to apply. So you may have been paying your landlord the little bit that you have each month and he's been okay with that, or she said to you, you know, I know you're a few months behind, I know things are tight, you've told me you're going to apply for rental assistance, I'll hold off, You know, I'm not going to take you to court right now as long as you can, you know, tell me that you're applying for some type of assistance and have a plan to pay me back. So you don't have to have court papers in order to apply. I know there are some programs where you do have to be in court in order to be able to access those funds, but New York State ERAP is not one of those programs. And as I said, I apologize. These numbers are primarily there just for Cattaraugus County. And just to show you what these income limits are, other programs in the past I've seen through different agencies, sometimes it was like 30% AMI or 40% AMI, which is a lot lower, which prevented a lot of people from being able to be eligible for these programs. Here's the income limits for Cattaraugus County residents. If you're a household of one, so if you're a single person and you're behind on your rent, if you make below $37,680 a year, you are eligible for ERAP. If you're a family of four and you make below $53,760 a year, and this is your gross income, if you make below that, you're eligible for this assistance. So I just wanted to kind of put that there because there's often a lot of times where people think they're not eligible for these types of programs or assistance. But this one does have some increased income limits to other programs that we typically see in our area in New York State. So I just wanted to kind of point that out for people. If you're in Cattaraugus County, these are the limits. And if you are in a different county in New York State, if you go to the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance website for New York State, OTDA, they will have income limits for all counties listed there. So if you want to apply for ERAP, you should go to, I've got at the bottom of this slide here, the email address, or you could just do a Google search for New York State ERAP. And there should be a link to take you to their homepage. This is the same website if anybody has accessed any other kind of New York State benefits like SNAP. I also believe there's information on here for you to apply for Medicaid. There's some child support services that are available through the website. It's all the same website, and the funds are being paid out by the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance through New York State. So this is a little bit different. It is an online application. So all applications do need to be made online. And I understand we're in a rural area. So, and it's a long application. It's a pretty complicated process. There's multiple screens that you have to answer questions on. They ask for information such as social security numbers for everybody in the household, dates of birth, income for anybody in the household who's receiving any income. They have you also upload documentation as far as possibly your tax return, pay stubs, your lease, proofs of payment of rent, different things. So there is a section on here, frequently asked questions, where there's a checklist for tenants. So I would suggest if you are going to, when you do get ready to apply, that you check out that checklist first and make sure that you have all those documents and you have all that information before you start your application. As you can see stated on the screen, it does say that once an application is started, all the questions have to be answered and the application signed and saved to submit it. So if you start it and you don't finish it, you'll have to start a whole new application. So I just want to let everybody know, if you go to apply, make sure you have everything on you available for you to answer all the questions on the application, just to avoid any duplicate applications and other nonsense. If anyone had experience applying for unemployment benefits back when COVID had first hit and experienced those problems, there's a lot of problems with this system as well. But the assistance is there and available. So my best piece of friendly advice is to just be patient. It's a long process. It's a complicated process. But you have to go through it in order to get the help. So what if you don't have good internet? and you aren't able to access the website or upload the documents that you need. You don't have a scanner. You don't have a way to make things PDF. You don't have a camera that works well enough. These are agencies that can help you apply. They're not taking applications as far as I know themselves, but if you need assistance applying, you can either contact the Department of Social Services. And this information is also available on that New York State website where you apply. Just to go back one screen, there is the Get Help Applying for ERAP. And when you click that, there will be a list of counties. You can pick Cattaraugus County, click that link, and this is the information that will pop up. So you can contact Nicole Zink at our Cattaraugus County Department of Social Services. You can also call them by phoning this number and tell them that you're trying to apply, you need help and assistance, and they should be able to provide that for you. Another resource that you have for applying for ERAP is CCA, which is formerly Cattaraugus Community Action, now Connecting Communities in Action out there in Salamaca. But they do have a satellite office here in Olean, which it appears that's the one that's assisting with applications. So you could call either one of these numbers or send them an email, tell them the same thing. You're trying to apply for ERAP and you really need some assistance. If you have problems applying or getting help applying, and neither one of these agencies is helping you, again, I would try to contact Legal Aid and let them know you're trying to apply, you're not getting anywhere, you really need some help, and just see if there's any services that they might be able to help help you with or provide to assist you with that application. And more helpful resources. If you have questions about going to court, you need to fill out a CDC hardship declaration, or you want to know more about your rights. New York State Office of Attorney General has created, through a project with area legal services and legal aid agencies throughout New York State that are outside of New York City, to create this tenanthelpnewyork.org website. And the website is very extensive. If you find yourself in a situation where legal aid for some reason is unable to help you and you are unable to pay for a lawyer, I would strongly suggest going to this website. There's very simple information on there that's written at a level for people that aren't lawyers or attorneys. And people that don't deal with these types of issues all the time. The language is very simple with lots of links to be able to understand everything that you're reading and lots of resources. There's forms on there with directions, step-by-step directions to fill them out for court, to answer petitions and to assert your defenses. And as I said, there's lots of information about your rights. Can your landlord discriminate against you? Can your landlord not take certain types of payment? Pretty much any question that you could have about being a tenant and your rights, you can find the answers on this website. There's also links to legal aid organizations for your area. You simply can put in your zip code and it will direct you to legal aid and other resources in your county and your area that can help. So if you're outside of Cattaraugus County, anywhere in New York State, and even in New York City, there is a separate link on there to connect New York City tenants to resources. I would say, you know, definitely check this out. There's lots of information there. It's a very simple site to use. There's lots of cool graphics, and I believe the information is, I want to say it's more than 12 languages that they have the forms and the information available. So it's definitely worth a look if you're unable to access any type of legal help. Just some tips for dealing with your landlord and rental payments and stuff like that is to make sure that you always keep a record of all your rent payments made. Never give cash without a receipt. Money orders, keep the money order stub that you, the receipt part, you know, tear that off and keep that for your records. You know, jot on there the date you gave it to your landlord. If you use a cash app like Venmo or something like that to transfer funds to your landlord, those apps a lot of times do keep a record of the payments that you make. But just never give cash to a landlord for rent without getting some type of a receipt, even if it's a handwritten receipt on, you know, the back of an envelope that's, you know, tucked into your purse or your book bag. Just always make sure you get proof of a payment that was made. Be prepared when applying for help. As I said, you know your facts. Know the exact amount of rent that you are behind, how much you owe, for what months do you owe. Have your ID with you, your landlord information, possibly if you have a lease, have that information, your landlord's contact information, all of your household members' information. Have everything that you need and know all your facts when you are applying for help. And to know your rights, be informed and contact a lawyer for help if needed. If you live in Cattaraugus County, as Gary mentioned, I do work for Legal Assistance of Western New York, which is a non-for-profit free civil legal service agency that has an office in Cattaraugus County in Olean, but we do help residents of the entire county, and we also do have six other offices that serve Monroe County, Chautauqua County, Allegheny County, Steuben, Tompkins, Tioga, Seneca, Wayne, Yates, Livingston, Ontario, Chemung, and I think that's all of them. So we have quite a big footprint in Western New York. So if you need assistance, if you're having issues with your landlord, call Legal Aid, see if you qualify for help, and access the resources that I've shared. As Gary said, I'm going to share this presentation with him, which will have the web links in there for some of the information. And I encourage everyone to access those resources. It never hurts to apply. Apply. If you get denied and you don't think that this decision is correct, call a lawyer, contact Legal Aid, see if they can help. But I do know if you don't apply, you won't get the help. And if you have any other questions about rental assistance, applying for rental assistance, issues with your landlord, you can contact Gary, and he can connect you with Vibe and Ty and all of his resources, and we can do, you know, the best we can to try to connect people in the right direction and get them connected with some help and resources. So that is all I have for you. I hope that was helpful.
I thought it was some good information myself. So I really appreciate, excuse me, you sharing the information, conducting the presentation. Now, I think that we kind of touched on it throughout the presentation, but I just wanted to kind of go back and bring the question up. So Vernon had asked, what can the tenant do if any of these illegal actions happen to him, when you were talking about the various things that you know, landlords might do that aren't legal. And I know Ty had he put in the comments to contact an attorney or legal assistant in the area, and they'll help, you know, set up a court date or move through that process. Is there anything else that may or may not happen, or what the tenant can do should they be faced with those, or is contacting the legal aid or an attorney pretty much the desired approach, I guess?
I would say, you know, one thing you want to do is always worry about your safety. If you have a landlord that's taking extreme action against you, is starting to get volatile, you know, and it's just doing a lot of things, you know, you always want to think about your safety. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but things can escalate kind of quickly in disagreement sometimes. But if you're, you know, if these things are happening and you don't have access to an attorney right away and you're locked out, you know, it's 10 o'clock, you just got home from work, you picked up your kids from the sitter, call the police. It is a misdemeanor. They cannot lock you out of your house. They cannot turn off your water. A lot of times the police are aware of this, and sometimes that's all it takes. It's like one of those things where you hope that police intervention will solve the problem if everything is handled the proper way. But sometimes, you know, I can't always say that that's going to happen. Sometimes, you know, it's civil stuff. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, police aren't lawyers. So
right.
Sometimes they might not make the right decision. So you may need to contact a lawyer. And if you don't, you know, you know, the best thing to do is to contact a lawyer. If it's an immediate thing, contact the police. That would be the best route to get immediate access to your apartment.
Mm-hmm.
A lawyer would more than likely try to do the same thing, maybe reach out and call the landlord and inform them of the law and say it's a misdemeanor. You know, you're breaking the law by doing this, and I'm going to have to contact the police. And they might take a lawyer telling them that more seriously. And the police may tend to listen to a lawyer.
Okay.
If they're not listening to the tenant. So, you know, it's every situation is different. The easiest course of action, if it's, you know, an immediate thing and you need to get into your place, is to contact the police.
Okay.
They should be able to help. If they don't, you know, contact a lawyer as soon as you can
mm-hmm.
to try to help you, you know, through that process.
Okay.
Because unfortunately, if everyone just followed the rules and, you know, people's rights were automatically granted and respected and given, you know, would we really need lawyers?
Right. Well, it definitely, you know, I want to, you know, kind of throw out, because I know a lot of the conversation around the housing situation is geared towards the tenant. You know, there are a lot of landlords that are in a legitimate difficult spot because of this as well. And they're trying to do things the right way too. Like there is a group of people that is trying to do things the right way, is trying to help people, give them the time, work with the tenants. So for anybody watching or listening, I don't want anyone to feel as if we're painting all landlords in a bad light. You know, by any stretch. I mean, landlords have their own hoops they're trying to jump through in order to get their help and assistance as well. And I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. You know, but at the same time, we definitely want to help make sure people are not on the street. You know, so sharing these resources that are available. Again, like we started the conversation with, if you're not educated, you know, if you don't know the direction somewhere, you can't get there. Very simply, you'll just be wandering aimlessly. And so I definitely appreciate your time and the information and you sharing. I haven't really seen any other questions in the chat. I've been trying to follow it. For those of you that are watching, we did put a couple of the links in the chat. I want to emphasize and stress again, Vibe's willingness to kind of help at least point you in the right direction, you know, and help you through the process as well. So definitely a thank you to both Ty and yourself, Jessica. Thank you very much. And to Vibe and everyone that's helping there as well. And for those of you that are outside of the Cattaraugus County area or outside of New York State, you know, most states that I've lived in have similar type programs and projects and that type of thing as well. So, you know, I would be in touch with your county if you needed, you know, any type of assistance or help there. Definitely appreciate it. Jessica, is there anything else you wanted to share or say before we end the show, I guess?
Not that I can think of. You can go to Vibes, as Gary said, vibes716.org. There's information on there. We're trying to add more information and resources for folks. Email, voices, in Black Empowerment, 14760@gmail.com. That can also be found on the website. But reach out. We're always looking for volunteers. Everybody's got special talents, and we're looking to tap into all of those if they can help the community and help other people. So feel free to reach out if you've got an idea or a project or a talent you want us you think we could use to help with our mission. So thank you so much for having us. And
definitely, really appreciate it. So thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. Everybody that's watching and tuning in, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the feedback, for sharing. Share this as many places as you can. Let people have access to the information. One thing we definitely like to do is empower people through information, allow them to see through things through different perspectives as well. And you might not be in need of any of these resources or this information, but someone you might know may need this information and you not even realize it. So a simple share on Facebook can be quite impactful, whatever social media platform. But thank you all for tuning in. I want to encourage you tomorrow night on a house call. We're going to kind of talk about it's going to be a current events episode. We definitely got a plethora of topics to keep us busy tomorrow night, with everything that's going on with the housing situation, the vaccine and mask mandates, and those situations, and the situation here in New York State and with our governor, and so we have plenty of things to talk about tomorrow night. So I want to encourage you tomorrow at 7:30 to join us for a house call on Facebook Live. Definitely want you to be part of that conversation. And then next week on Reflections, we are actually going to step into the public square. We have a panel forum, have three young women that are going to be on join us, and we're going to essentially discuss some relationship aspects, so to speak, the dating world and expectations and toxicity, and so we're gonna have a good time there. So you want to encourage you to join us next week as well, for Reflections when we do that. But again, thank you all so much. Ty, I appreciate you as well. Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys supporting the podcast, supporting House Call, the Media Hub, supporting my campaign for mayor here in Olean. Those of you that are behind it, I really appreciate your support. Message us, comment, let us know what you're thinking, what topics you want to talk about, what's important to you, what needs addressed in your opinion. We definitely love to bring it to the table, and get other people to share their expertise as well. Because again, if we don't have the information, we can't grow. And so again, special thank you to Vibe and to Mrs. Jessica Malone for joining us tonight and sharing the information that she did. And again, you guys, thank you so very much. Love the support. Appreciate all y'all. Until next time, y'all pray for me, I'll pray for you, and we'll catch you next time on Reflections with Dr. Gary Harvey. And that is that. So I don't know if you are still in the background or not.